This is a replay of the Tuesday night, September 17th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And yes, tomorrow is National Cheeseburger Day. We'll fill you in on all the details coming up. But I got my moons mixed up yesterday. And Carol, who keeps track of everything, world's best show prep. I'm playing all your requests tonight, and that's largely courtesy of Carol, who actually keeps track of what you've requested. Yeah, if it's up to me, they're on slips of paper and they're gone by the next day. But she's wonderful at this, so you will hear yours as far as that goes, and you can thank her, not me. Now, the deal on the moon is, got my moons mixed up. Yes, next year it'll be the corn moon in September. So here is the deal. Most years, the September full moon is the harvest moon, and that's because it's closest to the September equinox, yes, the 21st of the month. And the deal is, of course, the lunar month doesn't line up with the equinox, so usually the closest full moon is in September. But every 3 years or so, next year in particular, the deal is the closest moon to the equinox falls in October. So next year, the harvest moon will be the full moon October 6th, meaning that, by the way, next year there will be a blue moon because the next full moon will be at the end of the month. But tonight, it's a harvest moon. So that is the deal. It is also a corn moon. Yes, serving both functions, don't you know? And apparently, when the October full moon is not a harvest moon, it is the hunter's moon. So next month, we will have the full moon hunter's moon. But tonight, we have the harvest moon, but what we also have, of course, is a super moon because it's closest to the Earth as far as that goes, and the partial lunar eclipse is going on as we speak. So maybe you have a view of that. I don't know. The peak illumination came about a half hour ago. However, you should still be able to see something until about quarter to midnight. So that's the deal for the super moon. Now, the next new moon is on October 2nd. All right, so I'm glad we cleared this up. Glad we had this conversation, and a big thanks to Carol for straightening me out on my moons. Now, as I mentioned, tomorrow is National Cheeseburger Day, and there are some people who are going to help you celebrate. Yes, that's right. So a number of chains have come forth to tell you what they're doing. Applebee's is offering cheeseburgers for $8.99. Seems a little high to me, but that includes a side of fries, and that's only tomorrow. And I don't know how much they are the rest of the time. Buffalo Wild Wings. Didn't know they were a cheeseburger place, but yes, if you buy one cheeseburger, you get a second one free. Well, I guess, but you must have a Blazin' Rewards account. I don't know how that works. Burger King. Now, here we go. Royal Perks members get a free cheeseburger when they spend a dollar or more. Now, I don't know what you have to do to be a Royal Perks member. Very often, they require cell phones and apps, and of course, I sign out on that. No, not worth it. But if you want to, tomorrow, the free cheeseburger when you spend a dollar more. Today, if you're still out and about and wanting to do something, it's the free original chicken sandwich with a dollar or more. And tomorrow, it's the four-piece mozzarella sticks when you have a dollar more, and then other things throughout the week. Dairy Queen is giving you two double original cheeseburger signature stack burgers for $8. Normally, that would cost you $15. I know, prices of everything are going up. And in addition to National Cheeseburger Day, Dairy Queen is celebrating a buy one, get one free deal on blizzards through this Sunday. So McDonald's, not to be outdone, is selling double cheeseburgers for 50 cents tomorrow. And that is available. You have to have the McDonald's app there again. I don't know. Smashburger, are you a Smashburger fan? Well, $5 on National Cheeseburger Day, which for Smashburger is probably quite the deal. Wayback Burgers, I don't know if there's one near you. I've never heard of them myself, but they've got a loyalty program that gets you something too. And Wendy's is celebrating all weekend. In fact, starting tomorrow, you can buy a Wendy's Bacon Cheeseburger for 1 cent with any purchase of Wendy's Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Yes. And I remember when we were raising Bernese Mountain Dogs, that was their favorite. I know that might not seem like it's the best way to tout something that humans would eat, but the dogs loved them, and after a while I tried them, and I kind of agreed with them. They're pretty darn good. All right, so that'll keep you in business as far as moons go, and as far as foods go. And it's also tomorrow Rice Krispies Treat Day, but I have no idea if Kellogg's is giving you anything. 888-876-5593. Cindy is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I have about 8 real fast things to tell you, but then anyhow, real fast, but then anyhow.
A list. All right, let's start with number 1.
I wrote it down because I forget what I think. Well, the first thing was the request, Ricky Nelson, I think it was Poor Little Fool.
Okay, well, tonight you're getting Brenda Lee Rock the Bop because that's what you requested, but we'll get you Poor Little Fool tomorrow.
Okay, I think that Brenda Lee song kind of is a loser. I don't know.
Would you rather I scratch that and just play Poor Little Fool?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's the winner of a song. Okay. But then anyhow, I'm going to the Cubs game next Friday, and I invited my new friend, Kathy. You know, I'm going to get the tickets and everything. Next Friday, if she'll go, if she could take half a day off, she's a school crossing guard. I don't know. If she can't go, I'm going myself. I know how to do it.
Okay.
But anyhow. And then the cat's thyroid is normal. He gained 2 pounds, and he knows something's kind of wrong because he's coming by me instead of by my cousin Mike. But he's okay. The land trust, I called the Chicago bar.
Uh-huh.
The phone kept disconnecting.
Mm.
So I called the library, and I got lovely people in Norwich, and it's not going to cost more than $800 for my land trust to file it and draw it up.
Okay, very good.
And then I put my lab pink diamond in the blank that came today with the tool, and I did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an egg recall, and I don't know if that's over.
Yes. No. Well, it's still going on, depending on when and where you bought your eggs. But yes, not only eggs, but apple juice as well.
I knew about that. That was Walmart.
Yes. Eggs, it's apparently a massive recall, they say, primarily Michigan. So,
it was in Illinois.
Well, yeah. Illinois is fairly close to Michigan. But I'm saying primarily. That's where they're really targeting. Time to check your cartons if you recently purchased eggs there. And that would include several states, obviously. So that would be Milo's Poultry Farms and Tony's Fresh Market.
I bought eggs on the 9th of the month, and they said they threw them out by the 6th. Because I called the library. I mean, I don't know if that's right. I mean, I just put them in cake, you know, bake cakes with them. Yeah. So that should be okay, right?
I'm the last person to ask. I keep them for months. What do I know?
Well,
so.
I threw out the ones I bought. I never used them because I hadn't baked any cakes. And then the other thing that, you know, I guess I just know how to shop places where I get everything way cheaper, the same prices from before the pandemic sales and everything.
Right.
I got pork ribs for 99 cents a pound and had those on the Memorial Day holiday. But then anyhow, and then I was just really thrown for a loop. Little boxes of little gelatin, Jell-O brand gelatin. $2 a box for a small cherry sugar-free box package. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It just threw me for a loop.
All right.
Okay, and I'm kind of turning over a new leaf if I go to the baseball game because I haven't been really anywhere out to dinner or anywhere, really anywhere since my boyfriend passed. And you know, this will be, I love the baseball park, it should be real nice.
Well, very nice.
Okay, well, and you're feeling better?
I'm starting to, yes. And you will hear Poor Little Fool tonight.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, that recall, like I say, it's targeted in Michigan. That's where the eggs came from. But the surrounding states, obviously, are involved in that as well. And so what I don't know, and I should look at this very often, when you'll hear the name of the company that has made the eggs, well, they're obviously the chickens made the eggs, but you know what I mean, that is packaged and supplied. I hope the chickens supplied the eggs. It won't be the same as what's on your carton, because very often it's under different names. But we have Milo's Poultry Farms and Tony's Fresh Market, and those would be the two branded names. So apparently 65 people in 9 states who've been sickened by the same strain. And it's been going on a while, May 23rd through August 10th. So 42 in Wisconsin, 11 in Illinois, and the remaining were in Michigan. And, well, California, Colorado, Iowa, Minnesota, Utah, and Virginia also had a couple people. So that's the deal. So if you have any of those eggs, and if we're talking about May through August, probably that is outdated by now. I don't know. But the recalls just keep on coming. It really does. It makes you wonder what you can eat, and might as well just enjoy National Cheeseburger Day while you're at it. But the nationwide recall on eggs, apple juice, and more, don't you know? Yes, because everybody goes to the store and buys more. Now, we have Greek yogurt, Kirkland Signature Greek yogurt, and we have seasoned beef skirt steak, Skylark Meats, recalled its Rock River Cattle Company. Smoky hibachi seasoned beef skirt steak due to undeclared allergen. I don't think I'd worry too much about that, by the way. Obviously, if you're allergic to whatever it is, soy, wheat, sesame, then you might not want to eat that. But that's not really a danger to the public at large. Frozen protein waffles, Kodiak, sold at Costco. And apparently it's the Power Waffles in the flavor of buttermilk and vanilla. There's a quinella. In the 40-count boxes, well, you don't want to run out, I guess. Then apple juice, various apple juice products, great value, great, a couple of great values. Market Basket, I don't know who sells that. Nice, Weiss, Urban Meadows, Nature's Nectar, Wellesley Farms, Solavita, and Clover Valley. So they say dispose of them immediately. Then there's margarine. And that would be Blue Menu, PC Blue Menu, is recalling the original margarine and margarine with olive oil due to mold. Oh, yummy. So that's, vegan protein bars. Well, that's what you get. And that would be, actually, I think it's a Canada problem more than anything else. Nutrabiotic or Biolix or something. Feed me vegan protein and oat bars in the flavor of chocolate coconut. All right, we told you about all the eggs. So that's the latest and greatest. See, now, if you're wanting to be on a diet, this might be the way. We'll just give you the rest of the recalls, and you'll never eat again. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And it was something I wanted to tell you about. In fact, I put it in the printer. So that's a great place for it, isn't it? All right, but I'll quickly try to retrieve it here so I can tell you about the CC Radio 3, which is an absolute wonderful product, and I think so anyway. John has it right by his bedside, and just loves it. And here it comes, actually. A couple of them. All right. The CC Radio 3 is the almost everything radio. All right. Now, how about that? And the deal on that is that why they say almost everything is the addition of Bluetooth. But I'll tell you what. If you are trying to find a radio that is going to pick up AM and FM better than anything else you've got, try that CC Radio 3. In fact, go ahead and I say this with the CC 2E as well, which is also terrific there. But the voice content, the quality is just tremendous. But if you take your standard radio and tune to some weak AM station, maybe it doesn't even pick it up, then use the CC Radio 3, tune to the same station, and man, you will see the difference. If it's over your head anywhere, it's going to be on this radio. And it's going to sound good. Audio quality for the spoken word sounds like the host is sitting right next to you. It's got separate bass and treble controls that can be adjusted to your perfect pitch to immerse yourself in audio quality. And it runs on the included power cord, of course, or a set of batteries. And that set of batteries will last you about 170 hours, which is really nice. And it's got a digital readout, of course, and it's got a clock and a timer and alarm, and it's got presets, and it's got your ability to fine-tune as well. So it is really the almost everything radio. And then with the addition of Bluetooth, yeah, you don't want to listen to it on your phone speaker. Well, you'll be able can listen to it in just terrific quality. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and look at the CC Radio 3, perfect bedside companion as far as I'm concerned. And if you can't go online for some reason, well, then you can call them because they got the world's best customer service at 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone, or they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail. And it is a terrific catalog. Not only great products, but great information, too. So if you are online, I best think you can go there right about now. And that's ccradio.com. ccradio.com. You look at the CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
He takes me to the places you and I used to go. He tells me over and over that he loves me so. He gives me love that I never love is true. Why can't he be you? He never fails to call and tell me I'm on his mind. And I'm
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that record. Why do I say that? Because Why Can't He Be You came out in 1962. Obviously, we're talking Decca Records and Patsy Cline, and it did not chart. Not at all. In fact, the only time that song charted came out in 1977, and I think it only got to number 77 when Loretta Lynn tried it out. Not nearly as good, if I say so myself, but...
He takes me to the places you and I used to go. He tells me over.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned, Patsy nailed it. Not that Loretta did a bad version, but like I say, it only got to number 77. So there you have that. And Patsy, I don't know. She had, of course, you know, She's Got You was number one for quite a while in 62. But she had a few other chart records in 62, but that was not one of them. And that's a shame. So I'm glad James requested that. And we'll get to him and his 9 million stories and pretty much all your requests. But the other thing I had wanted to mention was the passing of Tito Jackson. And you probably heard about this. The saddest thing about this is I was looking, did he ever sing lead on anything? No. And more than that, he was a heck of a guitar player and later did some solo blues work and some really nice stuff. But the whole time he was with Motown, they would not let him play guitar on any of the sessions. I kid you not. They used session musicians. But the one thing about Tito, he was the third out of 10 Jacksons, is firstly, he was unwavering in terms of his loyalty and a member of the group continually. But also, everyone to a person talks about what a really nice guy he was. And sadly, driving throughout the Southwest last week, heart attack and died. So rest in peace, Tito. Everybody loved you. And maybe that's better than solos. All right, so we'll check out what's going on in the world at large with the news, and then we'll get back to, we've got Lee and Marcus Hook, we've got James on the South Side, and you too, if you'll call on WGN Radio.
Oh,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's for Ruth and Gurney. She wanted Patti LaBelle. There she is, Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, Down the Aisle, 1963 on King. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888-RALEIGH. And that takes us to Leah in Marcus Hook. What's up tonight, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
I'm getting better. And yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. My last of the sutures actually fell out of my mouth.
Oh, well, that's
I'm
good.
Feeling better.
Good.
Yeah, it feels better. So
excellent.
I wanted to ask you about streaming on your TV. Do you know anything about that?
You mean using streaming to pick up services? Of course. You got to have an internet connection and a decent one. That's about all. Otherwise, you're going to be buffering to hell and back. But if you got decent broadband, and in this case, you don't need much on upload, but you do have to have good download, which virtually every provider offers. So yeah, then you just decide what services you want.
So you have to have internet service
you
to stream on your TV.
You absolutely have to have internet service, and it better be reliable.
Oh. So I can't get, like, Disney or Hulu or anything on my TV without internet service.
Well, I don't know. How would you get it?
I don't know. I don't know how they work.
Over broadband. It's coming over broadband one way or another. So if you have a Comcast subscription, you know, if Comcast provides your broadband, that's probably good enough.
I have Dish.
Well, okay. Well, if you have Dish, why do you care about streaming?
Because I want Disney and Hulu.
Aren't they? Well, isn't Disney on Dish?
No.
Okay. Well,
Disney, not Disney Plus.
Okay. And yeah, those are all streaming services. And if they're not on Dish, well, now let me ask you this: what do you do for internet at home?
I just have it on my phone.
Well, you're just using cellular data?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, if it were me, I'd be getting rid of Dish, and I'd be a Comcast customer if they're available where you are, and I'd get yourself some broadband.
Mm.
But you know, and I say it like that. There are other providers, and I don't know who's in Philadelphia right now. For the most part, I'd stay away from DSL unless you could possibly get a fiber connection. I don't know where you are.
Well, there's this company called Astound, and they offer broadband for $20 a month.
Yeah, but it's astounding. Is it fixed wireless?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a, you know, let's see, high speed internet. What are you telling me here? I'm trying to read this here to see what they are for you. They claim they have gigabit internet. And they are available in Pennsylvania. Yeah, wait a minute. I've got to get rid of all these. All these cookies they want to put on my computer, so let me just reject all. All right, there we go. Now, let's
see. What are cookies, anyway?
Oh, it's just a little marker on your computer which lets them know what you visited and what you're doing there and stuff like that. It's.
Oh, because they always ask me on my phone, too, and
yeah,
I was just wondering what they are.
Say no. I don't want to check for service. Let me just continue shopping. And I see your $20. I'm continuing shopping. Stop showing me that. They absolutely want my address. Well, too bad. And they're not going to let me do it without my address. So I'll do it another way. So you can find out what it is, I mean, as far as that goes. But I assume it's fixed wireless, but it might not be. Let's see. Yep, it's fixed wireless. All right, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it varies. I've had bad luck with fixed wireless, and I've had acceptable luck with fixed wireless. Would I rely on it? No, but you know, will it work? Maybe so. If there's a deal where there's no contract and you get 30 days to try it, you might try fixed wireless. But you might other choices as well.
30-day trial.
Well, so you got 30 days to decide if you like it or you don't. So that's
okay.
One thing.
I'm writing this down so I can remember to ask them.
Yeah, find out about it. But because you don't want to be locked into something if you don't know how it works. And very often you'll get somebody where the speed supposedly is great, but if there's a lot of jitter or if there's packet loss, that's not going to help you.
And what's so, the packet law?
Sherry wants to talk to Leah.
Oh, what?
Sherry wants to talk to Leah.
Oh, Sherry wants to talk to Leah? Oh, this will be interesting.
Oh.
All right. This will be really good.
Oh,
all
God.
Right. Well, we're about to have the Sherry and Leah combo here, so wait a minute, Leah, here. Let's see if we can...
Oh, this should be fascinating.
Well, it's going to be. All right, so let's bring Sherry into the conversation. Are you there, Sherry?
I am here.
All right.
And
hi, Sherry.
Hi, Leah. I love you. Every time I get nuts in my hair, I think of you when I brush it.
Oh, it's Leah. But, it's Leah, L-I-A.
Leah.
Not Leah.
Okay.
Oh, Leah, L-I-A.
I'm sorry.
All right.
That's
L-A.
Okay.
L-A-A. Wow, I've never
L-I-A.
Heard it that way. But that's cool. I just wanted to tell you that we used to have cable from Comcast, and then COVID came and we went through my $3,000 in savings just on toilet paper and food and everything. And we cut the cord. And then we had a tornado and then we had no condominium.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway,
condominium
so
thing, yeah.
What I found out, and because of COVID, a lot of libraries have done this. Do you know what a hotspot is?
Yeah,
no.
But by the way, that's going to give her fixed wireless. So that's what I'm trying to
No. Do you know what a, Leah, do you know what a hotspot is? It looks like 5 credit cards tall, black.
All right.
No.
Your phone can be a hotspot, actually, if you enabled it.
Well,
if
you want to pay for it.
Right. What are you
But my point is.
Do you mean like a Wi-Fi hotspot?
Yes, that's what she means.
Yes. That's what I mean.
Okay.
But
I know
a lot of
is.
Libraries have like 100 of those units, and you can check them out for like our library 2 weeks. David and I both have a library card. So when my subscription is ending, and it's tougher in the summer because of kids in the schools, they're now supplied with them. But in the summers, they're not. So they check them out, and I have to renew a subscription. But I'll put...
Okay.
I'll put a hold
Sherry,
on David.
Sherry, if I'm trying to get her away from fixed wireless, why are you talking about hotspots?
Because you can watch TV through your laptop.
Yeah, badly.
Or whatever.
Badly.
Well, we have a
no.
smart TV.
I don't call
TV
it badly. I watch WTTW
watch
every Saturday.
Okay. You could try it, Leah. And, if you want to try it for $20, try it. It depends.
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, I know that. But she's not going to go to the library. She's going to pay the $20. Trust me, Sherry.
Yeah, because we have a smart TV in the bedroom that's 50 inches, and we want to watch it on that.
Yeah, well, you could.
Well, that's fine. If it's a smart TV,
right.
you can download the, can connect internet-wise to
all
the
right.
TV.
Yes, you certainly can. All right.
Yeah, we just don't have internet.
And, well, you would with a hotspot, but you
well,
also
Well,
wouldn't.
You will if you check one out from the just try it.
All right.
My neighbor in my old condo, he tried it. He does it all the time now.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate
really?
It, Sherry.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, appreciate
just
it.
Try.
Yeah, many areas will offer you those. The quality varies tremendously. But
okay.
But you know, again, I'm not a fixed wireless fan. I'm not saying nobody's using it and it doesn't work. I mean, when T-Mobile or Verizon, when they're offering you their home internet, that's fixed wireless. It's the same situation. And, you know, I just find I'm getting, you know, jitter. I'm getting packet loss. I don't want it. So you asked me what packet loss was. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say you're sending, easiest way to explain this. Let's say you're sending an email and there are 5 words in that email. All right. Well, all 5 words aren't going to travel together. They're going to, this is for anybody who really knows what they're doing. I apologize. Don't vomit. All right. So now with that in mind, it's going to be deconstructed and say each of those 5 words is going to go around the world, depending on its own. And then it's going to come back where it's planning to go and be reconstructed. Well, along the way, if one of those words drops, let's say that's a packet, it's the easiest way to put it, then it's not going to be reconstructed. So then it will not reach its destination. And so when you've got packet loss, it's really going to slow down your speed dramatically because what's going to happen is the internet's going to go back and say, hey, we lost one, give it to us back. And then it's going to try to say, I know there are people just ready to hit me for this, but it's the easiest way I can explain it to you. So that's the problem with it. You know. Just consider jitter to be...
So ask for a 30-day trial.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have known people who've been happy with fixed wireless, and it's worked for them. So I'm not saying it's out of the question. I'm just saying you want a trial to see whether it is or not.
Okay.
And it may be all you need. And then just get a 30-day free trial or a week free trial on Hulu or whichever you want, and see whether you're able to actually watch everything you want to watch and you don't have a lot of buffering.
Okay. So if I get the internet connection mm-hmm. without a computer, how will I check it?
Well, you said you've got a smart TV.
Yeah, we have a smart TV.
So that's what you're going to hook up.
Yeah.
So if you've got a smart TV that actually is, you know, internet connectable, then that's what you're going to connect it to.
Okay.
The computer doesn't need to be in the mix.
Okay. So then once the internet is connected to the smart TV, all I have to do is order like Hulu.
Yeah,
and it'll automatically be on the TV?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to, basically, you'll do it, you can do it from a phone. I mean, I do everything from a laptop, but you can do it from a phone. And it will, you'll sign up to give them an email address and all that, and then they're going to give you a code, probably. Or they're just going to say, okay, you pick out a password, and then you give them the password. And then that's all it takes. You go to the TV. Yeah, they may ask you to download an app on your phone since you use one. On the TV, you could even download the app on the TV. You've got a smart TV. It'd be easy to do. And they will, believe me, give you step-by-step directions because they want customers.
Okay.
So, and then you can check it out on the TV. And John uses a lot of those streaming services. You know, I don't watch TV. John has, you know, we got them all. And, you know, as far as whatever it is, the Hulu, I pay for these every month, each and every one of them. So,
yeah, because there's so many good shows coming on Disney Plus and Hulu, and I'm missing them all, and I don't want to.
Of course not. Why? Well, John's the same way. You know, every other day, it's like, well, sign up for this. Okay. So we want to keep the telecommunications business going strong. And
yes,
so,
we do.
Consequently, if they offer it, I've got it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And
Yeah,
and
try them out.
And then I
was going to say, you'll report back. You'll give us all a review on how well it works.
I will. Not till next month, though, when get paid.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you about maybe someone in Wisconsin can call in and speak to this. Maybe someone who might be working or trying to get this accomplished in Wisconsin, because there's a movement afoot.
What's
going
on?
To try and get this accomplished.
Well,
I'm just confused. Wisconsin, they're always saying that Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are the most liberal states, you know?
I don't think that's true.
For some reason, Wisconsin does not yet have medical marijuana, which shocked me.
Well, it shouldn't. When you say liberal, as far as that goes, and I wouldn't agree with that, by the way. I would put Oregon.
Well, their governor is.
Yeah, I understand that. But, well, that's because of, you know, Madison's, the People Republic of Madison. But, no, here's the deal. In the upper Midwest, in particular, Minnesota and the Dakotas, and to a good extent, Wisconsin, there is a brand of socialism coming back from Europe days there that is very conservative personally, but very liberal economically. And NODAC was always very much this way. And, you know, that was part of the logic. So when you say they're very liberal, well, liberal may mean different things. And so if they're socially conservative and fiscally liberal, they're not going to say, yeah, we want medical marijuana. But I don't know. Maybe it's the beer brewers, because after all, Wisconsin certainly likes its drinkers. I have no idea.
Yeah, because when I lived in Beloit, I mean, they were conservative. They were really conservative.
Well, they're conservative socially, but they're liberally fiscally, economically. Traditionally. And all bets are off now, but traditionally that was always the case with Minnesota, for instance.
Yeah.
But maybe someone there right now will want to say, now, has there been any movement to legalize it?
Yes, there is. And I joined it.
All right.
Because we want to move back to Wisconsin, but where, you know, because our families are both from there, but
well, here it is.
I can't move back there unless there's medical marijuana.
Well, there is apparently a Republican plan to legalize medical marijuana. How about that? And
yeah.
So let's see. City of Milwaukee says medical marijuana. U.S. placed marijuana Schedule 1 because it's considered, let's see. Yeah, there's a number of projects, you're right, that are trying to do this. But now, they passed a law over 10 years ago that exempt individuals with seizure disorders from criminal penalties for possessing marijuana.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess give it time. And maybe someone from Wisconsin will want to, you know, weigh in on that. And so... I would assume I have to stop right now. I'm done. Hold on. I'll talk to you later, Leah.
Okay, okay, thank you.
Okay, bye on WGN Radio.
If I go a million miles away, I'd write a letter each and every. Cause honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you. Make me weep, and you can make me cry. See me coming, and you can pass me by. But honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you. Lord, you're the apple of my eye, your cherry pie, and oh yeah, your cake and ice cream, and all your sugar and spice, and everything nice. You're the girl of my dreams.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Sam Cooke. Nothing Can Change This Love, 1962 on RCA, and it was Barry in New Hampshire who had requested that. I think he heard A.J. Croce doing it and said, let me hear the original, and always happy to do that. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, to the man of 432,000 stories, James on the South Side. What's up, James?
How are you?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, well, I've managed to not sprain anything. I guess consider myself a little lucky on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're getting over what was a pretty nasty bug, I would say.
Well, it was just an aggressive cold. But, you know, the fact that it didn't go to my chest, as far as I'm concerned, this was a non-event. That was my big worry. Don't go to the chest. And it didn't. So all's well. So yeah. you have, as usual, 432,000 stories, or so it seems. And do any really float your boat?
Yeah, there's the... there's the troubling one where I don't know what the mother was thinking. I guess she did it as a little game, and she was like pretending to be leaving out the and the child grabbed onto the car door.
She ran over
and,
the kid.
Yeah,
that was obviously she's been charged, rightfully so too. This was out of the Cincinnati area where an 8-year-old girl is now home. Yes, right, after quite a while in the hospital. Apparently, mom liked to play a game where they would all run to the car, and if she got there first, she'd lock the doors and drive away. Well, unfortunately, in this particular case, the 8-year-old was hanging onto the door handle, and mother drove over her foot. And 8 years old, do you get permanent teeth by 8? Because this little girl lost 5 of them.
Well, you have a few. You don't have many.
Well,
thankful.
only.
I think she has less at this moment. So yeah, that was not Mother of the Year. We have several stories along those lines. But talk about bad judgment. Mother of two dies after eating marshmallows during Fit the Most in Your Mouth contest.
Yeah, I'm like thinking, that would not be a contest I would have entered.
This was actually Wales, so it's offshore. But nonetheless, the horrible part is her son's rugby club sponsored this contest. Yes, Fit the Most Marshmallows in Your Mouth. And this woman collapsed and died.
Yeah, I bet they're having a real downer about that one.
Yeah, after swallowing dozens of pink and white marshmallows. Now, what I find interesting is I thought that she choked with the marshmallows in her mouth, but this woman actually swallowed them. So I'm not 100% certain what killed her. Not that I'm surprised she's dead, but nonetheless, I don't know exactly what the mechanisms of this death were.
It appears to me, and the story doesn't make it clear, and there's no like real follow-up parts,
Yeah. Is
I would think that she got trapped somewhere in the trachea and down where one or two of them might have gotten into the breathe over to the trachea and still going down the esophagus.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that would be suffocation. That would probably conveniently do that as well. Well, I think the rugby club is going to have to find some other fundraisers.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else is going to actually go for that one.
Yeah, and exactly. In the meantime, the fundraisers they're going to need for the next year are going to be for their legal bills.
Oh, yeah. Another one that I know you probably heard it a little bit when the news was right before you came on about the French case.
No, I wasn't paying any attention. I leave the room when the news is on.
the rape where the guy basically put his unconscious. He was, I think, blind or something like that. And he basically invited a whole bunch of his buddies over to basically take turns on him.
Yeah. So this is the guy who says, "I am a rapist," he admitted on the trial? Yes.
Yeah.
71 years old, accused of drugging his wife to sleep and recruiting dozens of men to abuse her for over 10 years. Well.
You know, I know something. Put a sign on him in a prison, basically. Yeah, I don't know. They might not do anything because of his age, but they probably, some few might be tempted.
Well, you know, I'm really wondering because here he is. He said, "No, I don't have anything against my wife. I was very happy with her." Well, I'd be curious to know, wouldn't she, in 10 years period, notice that something was really wrong?
You want to know, I would think so, but then again, there's certain medicines that can leave you where your sense of time and space are not quite there.
Now, the story...
Although I would think though, that feeling a little sore might be an indication that something's not quite right here. But if he does it, had done it like apparently the way he did this, she probably would never notice, and he probably had like something that was like a local anesthetic combined with a general basically put her to sleep.
But she has to wake up eventually. So we'll wonder about that. Now, the story that I find interesting, and it has such ramifications in so many levels, is we found yet another blood type. And actually, people who think there's just AB, and O don't understand about the way this works. Because of the antigens, there's actually over 46. And so the news is now we've got, a 46th or a 47th with the MAL group. But what I found most interesting about this is that most kids, when they're in grade school, the teachers teach them about genetics and all that, you know, just like two blue-eyed parents can't have a brown-eyed child, supposedly, you know, and all that. Well, how many kids went to school saying, well, I can't possibly be B-type blood if my mother, you know, that kind of thing. Well, now they're finding out that that's all out the window because, yes, you can. But not only that, that in the case of this new blood group, MAL, apparently all of these antigens can have the effect of, if you're not matched up properly, of rejecting transfusion. So this is yet another step in maybe maybe correcting some of those problems.
Yeah, and that was what really, of course, and I know some of the comments in this, it says, like people are saying, oh, this is just great. I mean, you knew something, but you didn't act on it. That's like kind of accusing science of that. But you want to be certain about what you're seeing.
Well, they absolutely. They knew something, but they didn't know enough. And so that's been since 1972. But so there are now, with this with MAL, there are now 47 recognized blood types, but there are over 360 recognized antigens. Now, if there's only 47 recognized blood groups, that says there's still it's still the Wild West when it comes to transfusions.
Yeah, and it also what this tells you something about the some people look for and it called gene linkage.
Yeah. Oh, it's
where you have one gene influences another gene.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating, and it shows you how very, very little we know about medicine. So, as always, a fine group of stories, and I thank you for sending them all.
Yeah. Oh, and I do have a request. Okay. I'm going to say, this is another Patsy Cline one. If I could see through the eyes of a child.
Okay. And I've got another Patsy Cline coming up for you. I'll try to get to it tonight. Never Know More.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. You take care and continue getting better.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. We will talk to Eduardo in Tampa, and there's plenty of room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
I used to play around with hearts, hastening at my call. But when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool all night.
She'd play around and tease me with her carefree devil eyes. Hold me close and kiss me, but her heart was full of lies. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool. Oh yeah.
She told me how she cared for me, and that we'd never part. And so for the very first time, I gave away my heart. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
Poor little fool, I was a fool. Oh yeah.
The next day she was gone, and I knew she lied to me. She left me with a broken heart, won her victory.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there it is. That's for Cindy. Poor Little Fool, Ricky Nelson, 1958 on Imperial. Sharon Sheely wrote that, and Sharon was kind of on top of the world right after that. She was engaged to Eddie Cochran, and she traveled with him in the UK and Gene Vincent, and that's where they had that car wreck that sadly killed Eddie Cochran, and she made it and continued to write, wrote a number of things, wrote quote with Jackie DeShannon on some things, but also things like Brenda Lee and Irma Thomas and you name it, everybody and their brother. And ultimately, she married Jimmy O'Neill, who was a disc jockey on KRLA, but then he was also the host of Shindig, and they were together about 5 years. And after that, she sort of left the music scene, and sadly died, had a hemorrhagic stroke in 2002, and only 62 years old. So rest in peace. She's buried right next to Eddie Cochran at Forest Lawn. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Eduardo is in Tampa. What's up, Eduardo?
Yeah, Raleigh. I thought I'd bring this up because this is up your expertise here, and I saw this in the back here where they list all the listings for like jobs and, you know, things wanted for sale.
Uh-huh.
And it says under businesses for sale, AM/FM radio station for sale, serving Northwest Florida for the past 32 years. Owners retire, and then it lists the phone number.
Okay.
So how would that work?
Well,
who would it?
Well, the first thing is normally they go through a broker. They don't normally list them in the newspaper.
Okay.
They normally go through you know, there's a few main brokers, but there's several others as well. And the first question would be, where is this? All right. So you know, Northwest Florida, it's a little different if it's in a city with some population versus, you know, it's in Brooksville. I mean, you know, depending. So that's the first thing. Where is it? How many people does it cover? Then the next thing would be, what's the power on both of these stations? For the FM, I not only want to know what it's licensed for, but what's the antenna height? That's going to tell me a lot about how far that's going to go. With the AM, I do want to know what its power is. Now, once I know that, and once I can look at some coverage maps, now I'm seeing to myself, what am I covering? What can I get? The biggest nightmare isn't that you're in a small town. The biggest nightmare is that you're in the periphery of a major town, meaning that everybody there can listen to the media from a major town. Why do they need you? So you're better off if you can have a market that's just yours. Now, the next thing is, how are you going to price it? And there are several ways that can be determined, but most often it is a multiple of 12 months cash flow. And so, you know, back in the day when I was involved in all this, it was 8 to 9 times. Hell, I've seen 23 times, not anymore, but I mean, that's how high it's gone in the past, gone even more than that, I guess.
Okay.
But so I want to know the multiple of cash flow. If I don't know that, then I want 2.5 times the gross. That's going to give me an idea of what I might be willing to pay for it. Now, is there real estate? Because I'm interested in that too. Do you own your tower site? And with AM, if it's directional, how many towers are we talking about? And tell me, how is the ground system? Because I really want to know how those copper radials look, depending. So those are some of my initial questions before I go anything further. But I think it is hilarious that someone put it in the newspaper.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah, that's,
and that, since I've been here, that's the first I've seen that, because I always like checking the stuff back too.
I mean,
I read over all the sections.
The only thing weirder that I've ever heard, years ago when I was working in Indiana, some guy in southern Indiana sent a postcard to the FCC, putting a station on here, thought you might like to know. And needless to say, they wrote back right away. I'd be curious. So AM/FM in Northwest Florida. All right, I'm going to see if there's anything online about this wonderful opportunity.
Well, there's a phone number on there.
Okay.
I don't know if you actually want to follow through.
Yes, I do. What's the phone number?
Okay, 850-393-0319.
Okay, hold on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio. Raleigh James. All right, Average White Band. And that, of course, with Donnie D. Wanting to hear Person to Person of Flipside, 1976 on Atlantic. And we're talking to Eduardo in Tampa. And I traced down the phone number. It's a mobile phone number in Pensacola. Unfortunately, I looked at about a dozen brokers during the news. And the problem is, of course, this guy's trying to sell it in the newspaper, so he probably hadn't listed it with a broker. Now, assuming that the radio station is also in area code 850, this is the entire panhandle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this could be anywhere. It could be Tallahassee. It could be Panama City Beach. It could be Pensacola. Or it could be places you've never heard of. It's in the panhandle. And that's all I know. I mean, good luck to them. I've never seen anybody sell them in the newspaper, but I guess you could. You asked me about it. Okay, so once you figured out what you were willing to pay for it, depending on what you were getting, then the next thing is, of course, you have to apply for it because the FCC has to approve the sale. And that's going to take about 90 days, assuming that all is kosher with you.
Okay.
So, you know, you got to be a citizen, and there's a few other requirements. You can't be a felon. You know, they've got their list, and that's pretty much it. And then assuming that the seller was entitled to sell it, you know, that he didn't have any really horrible outstanding stuff with the FCC, then you could have it. Now, whether you could make money with it or not, we don't have enough information to have a clue.
Yeah. But that was interesting you said about location, because, like... Like if you were like in a big city like Tampa as opposed to maybe some rural town.
Yeah, see, the thing is, if I'm in Tampa and I can cover all of both Hillsborough and Pinellas County, both of them, I've got to cover Hillsborough and Pinellas, those two for sure, then I've got a good fighting chance. But if I can only cover one of them, or worse than that, only, you know, I got, you know, 1,000 watts in Lutz or whatever, you know, if I can only cover a very little bit. Now, that's the kiss of death. And you always have people who are trying to do that. Oh, I'll do a move-in or whatever. You know, those days are gone.
Yeah.
So you either want to be able to cover the entire metro, and if you can, it's probably more than you want to pay. But assuming that the price is right and all that, then yeah, okay, you cover a metro, you've got a fighting chance there. Otherwise, you want to be in an area that has enough people to survive. In other words, you don't want 200 people and a horse, all right? But, you know, if you've got enough people to survive, and hopefully those people can't easily hear big city radio. You know, this is the shadow markets, they call them, and it's always tough. Like, for instance, one of the largest markets in America is San Bernardino. Another one is Long Island. These are top 20 markets. The problem is that both of them are, like, if you're in Long Island, unless you're way the hell out in Sag Harbor or something, you can hear New York radio. And if you're in Sag Harbor, by the way, you can hear Connecticut radio, New Haven. But in any event, if you're in San Bernardino, chances are good you're hearing all of the Mount Wilson stations, all of L.A. So you've got a huge problem there when you're competing. So you want a market that is yours, that can't be encroached by people who have more money than God, you know, compared to you. So, you know, what we always used to laugh in the North.
Less competition.
Yeah, right. Well, then those, you know, you got a little station in Westchester, New York, basically. Basically, you're the school closing station. The only time the kids are listening is when the schools are closing. We'll find out kind of thing. So, you know, those are some considerations. But now, on the other hand, you'll sometimes see that something comes with 10 acres of land and it's pretty nice land. Well, you want to consider that as well. Although if it's 10 acres of land and you've got 8 towers on it, you may need that acreage. And then you have to figure, well, you know, am I going to want to, you know, pay the taxes on it and maintain it? So there's so many variables. But I'm very curious to Mr. Pensacola, area code 850.
Boy, that's Stephen Johnny's territory, right?
Well, it's also the state capital. But now the other thing, it says AM/FM.
Right, right.
We don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I know about Tallahassee, the state capital, yeah.
Right, but AM/FM, we don't know if that's true. In other words, it might be an AM radio station with an FM translator. And so that's not a full service. And a lot of people will sell it that way. Oh, it's AM/FM. Well, no, actually, it's a translator. And that's a whole different ball game. So we don't know who this is or what he's got. But I'm curious.
Yeah.
So I'll keep the I'll
well,
keep
maybe
the phone
he'll pop up on the news. Yeah. You know, I'm one of the...
Yeah, I'll keep the phone number handy, and I'll check check all the radio boards and stuff. But
it'd be nice, if you get any updates, you're sure.
Yeah, that'd
be nice to hear.
It'd be hilarious. I want to know. All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's, hey, God love them. All right. Oh, man. 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. I'll get to Art in Forest Park. There's going to be room for you, too. And other things of note that I wanted to share. There were actually a few other things. And, yes, too numerous to mention other than that. And I'll try to find them here and get your calls coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Otis Redding, 1968 on Atco, when everybody was trying to release Otis Redding records. And Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. It was Don and Beloit who wanted to hear that, and now he has. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Art is in Forest Park. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. That was Otis Redding?
Yes, it was.
I thought it was James Brown.
Well, it was a cover.
Wow. It sounded like just like James Brown.
No.
Who was that lady who died at 62 and was in the car with, was his name Wayne Cochran?
No, not with Wayne Cochran, with Gene Vincent and Eddie Cochran, and that was Sharon Sheely.
Sharon Sheely.
Yeah.
Did she write Poor Little Fool for Ricky Nelson?
She absolutely did write Poor Little Fool.
And what were some of the other famous songs you said she wrote?
Oh, gosh. She wrote some of the Brenda Lee stuff. I think she wrote Dum Dum, but I'd have to look it up to know. Let's see.
I'm going to look it up. What's her name again?
Sharon Sheely, S-H-E-E-L-Y. But, yeah, she wrote Dum Dum. He's the Great Imposter, the Fleetwoods. She did that. You know, she did a number of things, like she wrote some stuff that Irma Thomas did, like Breakaway, but not really hits. But so she's written a number of things. But I would say as far as things that charted, you're talking about Dum Dum, you're talking about The Great Imposter, you're talking about Poor Little Fool, those would be the big ones. But she was around for several years. And like I say, she was married to Jimmy O'Neill for about 5 years. And, you know, he was kind of the flavor of the month when it came to rock and roll in L.A. in the early 60s.
It's Great Imposter. Oh, yes, I'm the Great Imposter.
Yeah, that's her.
Yep. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at albums, you'll see her songwriting credits on everybody, like, of course, Eddie Cochran, but Glenn Campbell, for instance, you know, Ricky Nelson, all that. You'll see a lot of it.
Wow, never heard of her before.
Yeah.
Sheely.
Yeah, absolutely. S-H-E-E, I think it's L-E-Y, actually. S-H-E-E-L-E-Y, Sharon.
And, I'll look it up on the internet.
But yeah.
John corrected me on a piece of information that someone gave me. He corrected me because I called about the lady who wanted to get internet.
Uh-huh.
And I told John that I had a friend who got a TV, went to Walmart, bought an aerial, plugged it in, and could get cable. And John said, no, you don't get cable.
You don't get cable. You can get over-the-air stations if you still are in an area like a market that has them, if you're in a city that has television, yeah, with usually now today, because, you know, everything's moved off of the VHF band a while ago and all that. So, but yeah, they sell things that you can easily pick up over the air, but it's not going to be cable.
Wow, he told me a falsehood.
Well, he might not know.
It's in Chicago, so you could get free TV in Chicago.
Right, and that's what he gets. He gets all of it.
Wow.
But he's not.
I never saw it. I never verified it, but he told me he got cable with this aerial he bought at Walmart.
Well, no, he didn't.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Well, I learned something from you and John. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, my pleasure. Yeah, believe me, if Walmart was selling anything that allowed you to circumvent paying the cable company, they'd be on them like whites on rice, colds on ice. I mean, that would last about a week.
Well, that's what I thought. I said, how could you not have a million of them sold every day?
Right, right, exactly. No, it doesn't work quite like that. But he could pick everything up off the air, all the off-the-air stations. And he might be able to, you know, pick up the sub-channels, the HD2s and 3s or whatever they are. So that I don't know. That's possible. But he's not going to be picking up cable.
No, I'll be darned. Well, I learned something today.
Oh, well. Yeah, you can beat him up.
No, I don't think I'll mess with him.
All right. All right, well, good deal. Well, I'm glad you called, and I hope you will again.
And by the way,
yes.
You didn't get an answer to your trivia question yesterday, did you?
Which one? Oh, no, it's for next week. That's right. It's our straggler for Monday.
Okay, I'll have to listen next Monday to see if I can get the answer.
Oh, good. Well, call in. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know the answer. Well, someone will either answer it or at the end of the program, you'll give us the answer.
Yes, I will. I always do that. I never let it last more than an extra week. So the straggler will be identified next week.
I know. 200 countries and 70% have a law. That,
yeah, all absolutely have the exact same law. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to listen next Monday.
Good deal. I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, bye. So, indeed, 888-876-5593. We're going to get some update from Jim in Richmond. Crazy local laws from Laura. Yeah, I can't wait to hear that. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
The Holiday Inn is proud to present some Jersey boys who really made good. Eddie and the Bruisers featuring...
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band were pretty much a bar brand from a band from Narragansett, Rhode Island, and they play up and down the shore there all the way to Asbury Park in absolutely no traction anywhere until what happened was Kenny Vance was scoring a movie. And the movie was about a legendary bar band, so why not get a bar band? So Eddie and the Cruisers, and that did so well that put John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band on the map. So that's a big thanks to Kenny Vance, and that of course came out on Scotty Brothers in 1983. And Jim from Richmond wanted to hear that, and actually it's a remake, of course. And you know, I'll tell you what. It's probably better than the original, because the original was 1958, and it was Bobby Freeman.
Betty Lou got a new pair of shoes.
Not much production value in Bobby Freeman records. Yeah, I wonder that he had so many hits, some of which he cut in the KYA newsroom. Yes, using the upside-down box of a AP paper box as the drums. So, and hey, you just never know. But nonetheless, I think probably Kenny did a better job on producing Eddie and the Cruisers. All right. And that's where we'll pick it up. We do have Jim from Richmond. We've got Laura in Willowbrook. Yeah, crazy local laws. All that and more coming up next hour on WGN Radio. Raleigh James, Delbert McClinton, he wrote it too. Better Off with the Blues, 1997 on Rising Tide. It was on the album One of the Fortunate Few. And he wasn't, even though he wrote it, one of the first to record it. It was about 5 years before that Clarence Gatemouth Brown put it out. But I thought Delbert nailed it, as was probably appropriate since he wrote it. So that was Johnny D who wanted to hear that, and now he has. And Jim is in Richmond. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, thank you for taking my call.
Always.
And thank you for playing Eddie and the Cruisers.
I hope you liked it. Yeah, the other one, right. I tell you, I listened to the other one, and I thought, we're going to pass on that.
Right. But I like them because of the saxophone.
Okay.
They play a lot of saxophone.
Yeah, they do.
I wanted to apologize for last Thursday night. I fell apart.
Oh, that's fine.
I don't know if I'm frustrated or depressed because the vision isn't getting any better. It's harder and harder for me to read, and stuff like that. So, I have to get up at 5:30 tomorrow morning because we're going to see the retina specialist who gives me the shot.
Right.
We have an 8:30 appointment. So I'm going to see what his opinion is and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I have to, because he took me off of the one set, the other doctor took me off the one set of the drops.
Right.
Because they had inflamed my eyes. They look like everyone said I look like a red raccoon.
Right.
But since I stopped taking them, everything's, good.
Good.
And but I have a problem. I told you, a couple of weeks ago that I got a bill for $300 from the hospital for when I broke my rib.
Uh-huh.
Well, they sent me a past due notice on an email, and I have to expand really large to read the email.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, now I owe them $691 instead of $300. So I called them today, and I said, I'll have to pay you $300 on the credit card. And I says, can you please tell me what that's from? And they go, oh, yeah, that's from May 29th to June 1st of 2023. And I go, 18 months ago? And they go, yeah, because the insurance, we finally settled it with the insurance. Well, that's when I had COVID.
Uh-huh.
And my understanding was that the government took care of COVID until the end of May.
Right.
And she says, oh, no, that was never in. You got mistaken. That was, you know, January 1st. I says, no, it was the end of May. And what happened was I was in the hospital two days before the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
My brother took me, and I had chest pains and everything. And they said, well, it looks like you could have COVID, but we don't treat COVID in the hospital anymore. So then I went home, where they gave me something to take, and then told me to take Tylenol and something else. And then it got real severe, and then I took the ambulance, and that's when I got there on the 29th. And they hospitalized me and released me on June 1st. So I said, you know, this is wrong because the government was supposed to cover it the end of May. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't know if you knew anything about that.
I don't, you know, but now the first thing hospitals are supposed to have some type of a caseworker or a negotiator or an ombudsman, or they can call it a lot of thing, an advocate. You mm-hmm. should have somebody you can talk to, because the first thing I'm thinking is they shouldn't keep charging you this interest, for one thing, because it sounds like your bill went from $300 to $600.
No. That's the next thing. The other $391... I found out while I paid the $300, she tells me, oh, that's from, and she gave me the dates, and that's when I had the stress test.
Okay.
And she said, $91 is for this, and she says the $300 is for the nuclear medicine.
Okay.
And I'm going, what, you know, you didn't cover it? Oh, I don't know what it is. That's just what it says. So I'm going to call Thursday to my insurance and ask them what's going on here.
Right, exactly.
You know, $300 on the nuclear medicine, that's the dye and stuff.
Yeah,
they
no,
shoot
I,
in
I
you.
Know, right. And that you, know? You would normally but, think that that would be covered.
Right, and that's what I'm going to call to find out, because I didn't have time today to do it, or, you know, after the shock of the other thing. And then I'm also going to call and ask them about the $300 I just paid to my insurance company and ask them why that wasn't covered by the government.
Right. So, now, I just looked at one program, and it was the uninsured program for COVID, and the cutoff for that was March 22nd, 2022, and I think they did something after that, but that was the first mm-hmm. cutoff. So, yeah, you need to, you absolutely need to talk to somebody who can be an advocate for you, who knows what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just, well, you know, just, you know, fighting for my rights and stuff, you know.
And, you know, sometimes it's just that it got coded wrong and insurance didn't cover it because the coding wasn't right. And so,
well, that's what happened with the eye doctor.
Right.
And you know, they said, I owe this much.
Yeah.
And then they said, you have to call your doctor because they coded it wrong.
Exactly.
And then I called the eye doctor and told them that, and then they fixed that.
Right.
You know?
And this may be a similar thing here. We don't know. But usually they have some type of an advocate at the hospital, because you're not the only person who's getting these bills, and they almost always have to have someone to help you. So I'd be looking for that, not just billing. You know, maybe it's a caseworker or a social worker. I don't know.
And they said that it took a long time for them to work it out with my insurance company, and that's why I ended up with the $300. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to call on Thursday because I'll be busy all day tomorrow driving.
Sure, you know? Absolutely. And, you know, and if it's coded wrong, they got to start over.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thanking you for all the help you've given me and stuff. And then I have one last question.
Yes.
Did you check, you checked into Mariah, and you said no to that one. Did you check into the other one? Sometimes we lie.
Well, let's see. The one I rejected might have been Sometimes We Lie. It wasn't Mariah. I'll tell you exactly what it was. I played it, and I thought, oh, my God. And that was Carvin Wall, Sometimes I Lie. That's out. Now, what's the Mariah one you want?
That was by Eddie and the Cruisers.
Oh,
that's the one that
I didn't.
But you changed it.
Oh, well, yeah.
This one.
All I had was Eddie and the Cruisers. Anything, but you want to hear Eddie and the Cruisers' Mariah? Okay,
no, but you don't have to play it.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Just saying,
if I can find it, I'll play it tomorrow night.
But the one that I asked that sometimes we lie, that's from the TV show Bones.
Yes.
And at the end of every episode on the epilogue, they play these songs, and I've never heard them. So then I just listened to that one, and then I, you know, but you said it's way out. And
It. Well, it's just a funeral dirge to me.
Right.
You know. But let me see if I can find something called Mariah by Eddie and the Cruisers. If I can, you will hear it.
Okay. I thank you for everything, and thank your listeners.
Always.
And
let me know how it goes.
Have a wonderful evening.
Let me know how it goes tomorrow at the eye doctor.
Yes, I will.
Good luck.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thanks. 888-876-5593. It'd be 8888-Raleigh. Laura is in Willowbrook. How's it going, Laura?
It's pretty good. I wish the best for that previous caller, especially on his insurance and that. I hope it goes well for him and everything.
Oh, I do too. It's bad enough being sick, but it's just horrible having to negotiate this stuff.
I know. You don't need that, right?
No, you really don't.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, I wanted to talk about some really goofy, I call them unusual, Illinois laws.
Okay.
I don't know if other states have these, but I don't understand them. Okay. First one I wanted to tell you about, I don't know if it's where you live, but you can't put any decor on the rearview mirror. Like, you can't have anything hanging like the air freshener, fuzzy dice. You mean people actually put that on the rearview mirror?
Oh, a lot of people put that on the rearview mirror. But the other thing is, what if you have a handicap placard? Most people put that on the rearview mirror.
Well, yeah, and I don't know about other people, but my rearview mirror's not bad. But yes, handicap. I mean, you have to have, if you're a handicap, you got to have that. And what about cell phones?
Wait,
there's some cell phones that stick to the window.
Okay, here's the deal. It says it is unlawful to hang items from your rearview mirror in Illinois if they, quote, materially obstruct, unquote, your view while driving. So, I guess if you're, you know, putting something from your rear view mirror that is the size of your kitchen sink, that's not okay.
Okay. So I guess it has to be the right size.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I wonder if anybody's ever gotten a ticket for this kind of thing. Like, really?
Well, not only but law enforcement officers can pull you over for that as a primary reason for violation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Try to catch you with something bigger, I guess, huh? Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, now this one, I want to see what you think. I'm going to spell a word, and you tell me how it's pronounced. J-O-L-I-E-T.
Oh, Joliet?
How would you say that?
Joliet.
How did you say it?
Joliet?
Yes. Yes. Joliet is correct.
Okay.
If you say Joliet, it's a misdemeanor, and you get fined $5 for saying Joliet.
What?
And how the heck does somebody catch, what is the officer go walking down the street listening for people to say this? They're like, huh?
That's,
who cares how you say it?
When did that come into being, do you know?
Oh, gosh, let me try to
see. Okay, so here it is. It was put into law in the 1890s as a way to get back at Chicagoans who had reversed the flow of the Chicago River, causing raw sewage to be sent toward Joliet. So anyone from Chicago caught pronouncing Joliet incorrectly was fined $5.
No wonder it's so old. They have nothing else to do but keep that on the books, I guess. Or they don't have time to take it off. I don't know which. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, there's so many things that they haven't taken off the books in just about every state. But what else you got for me?
Well, this one doesn't make any sense. It's illegal to give lighted cigars to pets.
Oh, yes, I saw that. I've seen
like,
that.
What?
Yes,
what is
yes,
up with that?
Yes.
Who
I have seen.
That?
I have seen that in various things. That you know, that's up there with the things you're allowed to hang from your rearview mirror.
Oh my God! It's like you've got to be serious. And then there was just a couple more. But actually, somebody actually does that. Maybe somebody was doing it as a joke one time, but who does it?
I'm trying to see if there's anything about that, you know. Because there must be something that caused this. So what would cause a law that it was illegal to give a domesticated animal a cigar?
I can't imagine.
That's
interesting. What the heck are these people doing? Okay, well, a couple more. I didn't even know there's a Mount Pulaski, Illinois. Okay. But it's illegal for girls to throw snowballs, but it's okay if boys do.
Well, that's interesting. I'm still working on the lighted cigar thing.
I know. I wish I would really like to figure that out.
Yeah, let's...
I mean, who the heck...
Let's see...
I know there's that... There's what?
You know, that's the thing.
You know, there's that one thing with the picture of the animals playing poker.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They have...
Yeah.
That's fake. I mean, it's not real.
Obviously, that's fake. It's also illegal to make silly faces at dogs in Normal, Illinois.
What?
Yes.
Oh God.
Yes. Apparently, apparently, Normal has abnormal laws about dogs. It's also illegal for a dog to bark more than 15 minutes in Northbrook.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I guess there's a list of dog laws. And in one city, Eureka, Illinois, if a man has a mustache, you can't kiss a woman.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Like what? In Eureka, Illinois, like what? What's wrong with... Okay, that's weird. You could only... I don't know. And then the last thing I'll talk to you about today. Just until recently, men could not walk around without a shirt in public.
Okay. And is this
wrong with that?
Is this throughout the state or just in one city? Now, what I want to know,
like,
here's the one I want to know how they enforce this. It's close to Rockford.
Yeah.
Bees are not allowed to fly over or within Kirkland, Illinois. And apparently in the 1940s, the town of Kirkland proposed a ban on the presence of bees and beehives. The ordinance created by the village board aimed to keep bees at least 500 feet away from all residences and 200 feet away from all roads. And apparently...
How do we do this?
Well, that's exactly. Since the 1940s, it's been very unclear on how anybody was going to enforce it.
Oh my God, that's insanity.
Yeah.
Oh
now, also, they don't allow ice skating in Moline, Illinois, in June and August. All right. So,
Who ice skates then anyway?
Well, exactly, and that's the Quad Cities. You can't have slingshots in Horner, Illinois. All right. In Evanston, you're not allowed to change your clothes in your car. Now, there again, you wonder exactly what happened that they decided to put that law on the books.
I know, there's something definitely wrong.
Yeah. The Pullman area of Chicago does not allow buckets of beer. So apparently you cannot order a bucket of beer from a local bar. And I'm not 100% sure how they enforce that as well. You can't, no shooting hoops on driveways in Peoria. So yeah, God forbid you put a basketball hoop above the garage there. Not in.
Yeah, don't have any fun.
Right, in Peoria. It's just roosters cannot crow within 300 feet of a residence in Kenilworth. And in Galesburg, it's illegal to kill a rat with a baseball bat.
Okay, well, I hope so.
Yeah,
gosh.
In Galesburg, Illinois, no smelly dogs. That's right. You better load up on that pet shampoo. So, yes. And if you're within 1 mile of downtown Bloomington, Illinois, you're not allowed to feed birds.
What?
Yes.
And how are you supposed to know how far you are and don't feed the birds?
I don't know. They must have a perimeter and they look for bird feeders. I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine these people writing these tickets or... I got to start looking up now, like, how did these laws come about? I would love to read how did this stupid law come about why?
Yeah, and some of that you'll find. Some of it, who knows? But yeah, the laws that are left on the book, there are some states where you have to honk your horn at every intersection. They've not ever pulled it from, they've never pulled it from the books going back to like 1910. So there's the deal.
Oh my, what a waste. Oh my gosh.
I'll look for more.
Oh goodness.
What a wonderful topic. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks, Raleigh.
All right.
I'm glad that you sounds like you're doing better. I hope John is too.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
Best of everything to that previous caller.
You betcha. Thanks. Appreciate it, Laura.
Take care, Raleigh.
All right.
Thank you.
So what's going on in the world at large? We'll find out soon on WGN Radio.
The faucet, she is dripping, and the fence, she's fallen down. My pocket needs some money so I can go into town. My brother isn't working, and my sister doesn't care. The car, she needs a motor so I can go anywhere.
Mañana, mañana, mañana is soon enough for me.
My mother's always working, she's working very hard. But every time she looks for me, I'm sleeping in the yard. My mother thinks I'm lazy, and maybe she is right. I'll go to work mañana, but I gotta sleep tonight.
Mañana, mañana, mañana is soon enough for me.
Oh, once I had some money, but I gave it to my friend. He said he'd pay me double, it was only for a lend. But he said a little later that the horse, she was so slow. Why he gave the horse my money is something I don't know.
Mañana, mañana, mañana is soon enough for me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1948 on Capitol, it's Peggy Lee. She co-wrote it with Dave Barber. Dave Barber and his Brazilians were the band. Indeed. So, mañana. And it was Dave and LaSalle who wanted to hear that. So, 888-876-5593. Isaac is in Chicago. What's happening, Isaac?
Hi. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I was calling in for... So, you guys have a law in... I think it's in Arizona where you can have... you cannot have roosters. You can have hens, but you can't have roosters. And here in Chicago, there's no restrictions on your pets as long as they, you know, are, as long as you keep them up. And so we have a lot of neighbors that have roosters.
Mm-hmm.
I had chickens at one time in my life, but we have a lot of neighbors that have roosters around 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, on my way to school and stuff. You'll hear them going off all over the place.
Yeah.
That as well as I was doing some, what's his name, Dick Calvet, watching some Dick Calvet interviews earlier today, and I ran into this whole thing with Lenny Bruce.
Yes.
And, you know, he was real controversial and stuff. But I thought that it was funny that back in the day he had made some joke about the Pope being Jewish or something like that, and there was some Catholic cop in the audience, and he got up and arrested him for that. And I was like, wow, that's really, I don't know what to say about that. But I thought it was funny.
It is, and he was arrested for a number of things. But
yeah,
actually,
so I've heard.
Actually, the thing that I remember most about that is Lenny Bruce was on the Steve Allen show. He was the first guy who did the Tonight Show. And he was arrested many times, mostly for dirty words, of course. But, he was arrested in virtually every city in the country, but apparently he was doing a bit about Jewish people and about tattoos, and his aunt told him it would prevent him from being buried in a Jewish cemetery, and he said that to allay her fears, he said, don't worry, they'll cut off my arm and bury that in a Catholic cemetery. Well, the network censors went crazy. And they said, you know, they said, that's offensive to Jewish people. That's offensive to Catholic people. You know, you're offending them all. And,
wow. Look how history repeats itself.
Right, exactly. So, but the funny thing, Lenny Bruce, you know, he says, I'm Jewish. It's not offensive to me. And I don't know anybody to be offensive to. Well, the censors, meanwhile, said, you're off. And so that was...
get out of here, bro.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so he
also,
was famous.
Also, the last caller called in, and she brought up Eureka, Illinois. That is the hometown of Ronald Reagan. And that's just my one fact about Eureka, Illinois, that I know.
How about that? No, yes. No other facts about it's the county seat. So
Eureka, Illinois is?
It's the county seat, and it's Woodford County. And the other thing is now it's part of the, you'll love this, it's part of the Peoria Metro.
Oh. Well, there you go. There's some more facts.
There,
that's
yes,
about
that's
it.
Yeah.
That sums up.
There you go.
Eureka, Illinois.
Yeah.
I was thinking about going to college here, and they have Eureka College,
yes,
and their whole
do.
Thing is Ronald Reagan.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, they've got about 5,000 people there at Eureka College. So,
good for them.
What were you thinking of majoring in?
I really did not have a clue, and I started talking to my counselor, and she was like, you know, you come from a big city like Chicago. I don't know if you really want to go to such a small, small place.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, that's probably right. So I ended up not just completely forgetting about it. But yeah. I was really dead set on going to Eureka College.
Well, they have a 59% graduation rate.
Oh, Lord. All right, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling.
Night.
Good to talk to
Bye.
You. Yeah, all right. So 888-876-5593. Now, you're probably saying, how do you know anything about Eureka? Eureka is one of those colleges that's having trouble staying in business, basically. And there's a bunch of alumni and all that who are concerned about the long-term health of Eureka. And recently you've been hearing about especially liberal arts colleges closing, Goddard in Vermont, for instance. So it's a thing. All right, 888-876-5593. We'll get to Nick in Baltimore in moments here on WGN Radio. Raleigh James, more Patsy Cline, 1958 on Decca. James wanted here, Never No More. Rita Ross and Alan Block wrote that. And I think it was a B-side, actually. It was on a single. I don't know if it's on any of her albums or not. But all right, so Nick is in Baltimore. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, good morning, Raleigh. I love your music. I just have a real quick question. I'll get in and out of here because you have a lot of calls.
No, actually, I don't. I'll talk to you till the top of the hour, damn near.
Okay, well, I have a couple of things. But I wanted to ask this question, and I noticed something 23 years ago. I told John I wanted to talk about radio and 9/11.
Yeah.
And I'll bring in something else other than radio in a couple of seconds, but prior to 9/11, everybody was 24 hours live. I noticed after 9/11, when that happened, that stuff started to dry up. So did the money dry up after that, or was that already
going
to start happening?
Yeah, it was absolutely in the works. You know, that Telecommunications Act of the mid-90s was such a killer because it basically forced people to be a buyer or a seller. And since the FCC, they created a feeding frenzy. They played musical chairs. They said, we're not going to let you have any more stations in existence. The number is finite, but by the way, you can pretty much own half of them. And so overnight, people had to become buyers or sellers. $100. And when you have that type of a feeding frenzy, what happens is the prices start to go through the roof. And initially, you're going to wind up looking really good on paper, because if you're a group and you've bought a ton of stations, for the most part, for the first couple of years, you can do economy of scale, you know, because cash flow happens in two ways. One, you're bringing in more money. Two is you're spending less to make it. Well, of course, if you're taking stations that every one of them used to have a traffic director and every one of them used to have this and that and the other, and now you're doing it regionally and there's one traffic director for six stations or whatever, you see where you're cutting your expenses so dramatically. Right. So for a couple of years, you look terrific. And what happens then is all the people who want to throw money at you say, oh, this is a great operator. Look at this cash flow. It's marvelous. Let's give them more money. And that's fine as long as you keep buying stations and keep with the economy of scale. But ultimately, the music stops, just like with musical chairs, and then you have to run them. So by the time you're talking at 2001, you're looking at the fact that they started to have to run them. So, of course,
right.
You know, because initially, like I say, economy of scale, maybe you only need one production director for five stations, and maybe you only need one traffic director for 10 stations, or on and on the list is. But after those few years, now what are you going to do? So maybe you say, well, we don't need anybody live on overnights. You know, you start to look for the places that you can cut.
And weekends.
Well, of course. And then middays, of course, and evenings, you know what I mean, as far as that goes. And then maybe you can have a morning man who will be able to be heard in three markets, even more, but you know what I'm saying. So,
right.
Sure, you keep looking for ways to cut. And, you know, part of that, a lot of people say, well, that's greed. No, actually, it's just arithmetic. It's not even mathematics, because the cash multiples that people paid for these radio stations, they could be sold out and they still wouldn't return the debts. So the bottom line is that to survive, they have to find a way. You can only increase the price to a certain amount. And now, of course, with programmatic buying and everything else, it's much tougher. Radio, starting in the 70s, started to throw away its national business when it, you know, took barter shows. I mean, why should why should Warner Lambert buy primo spots on a station when they can just sponsor whoever, you know, Mary Turner off the record, and next thing you know, Chules is on the air in Morning Drive or what have you. So we decimated the national rate card, and so it was a number of things coming together, but I wouldn't say that 9/11 itself was a big factor. Now, somebody else who was in sales at the time might say I'm wrong, and I'd love to hear it, but I don't see evidence of it.
Well, I brought it up because I just seemed to notice that things dried up here.
Well, think about it.
On the FM stations.
Right, but think about it. If they really overpaid in the mid-90s, yeah, by the early 2000s, the pedal meets the metal, and you better find a way to make money.
Well, the proof of the pudding of what you're saying is when Key Broadcasting sold WBMD and QSR, it was Sconix, right, that came in.
Okay.
And then Sconix was gobbled up by American Radio Systems, and then American Radio Systems was gobbled up by CBS, and, of course, the rest is history.
Yeah, you can do that. You wind up one time many years ago when I was bored, I made graphs of who became everything, and it's just alarming to see how compacted it got. So sure. And like I say, that was the frenzy. When Sconix bought, say, WIBC, that was the 80s, you know. So that was before you were really starting to see this gear up. But, man, that mid-90s, that Telecommunications Act, not only could you own them, but you almost had to own them. So, you know, or sell them, either way.
That's what really wrecked everything. And it was really, like you said, Telecommunications Act.
The government. And you know, I for the life of me, I don't understand how they can say, well, there's a finite amount of what exists. We're not going to increase the amount of what exists. We're not going to allow you to broadcast with more power with what exists. But now, instead of owning 12, which was the limit at the time, it had come up from 7, instead of owning 12, you can pretty much have 50%, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's an exaggeration, but not a tremendous exaggeration. So it had to happen. And, you know, so I absolutely blame the government for what happened. You know, in retrospect, I think the guys who made out very well were the sellers.
Right.
You know,
what I heard when Brenner, Key Broadcasting, when he as soon as he got that check from Sconix, he went to Florida.
I'm sure.
And you know, retired with millions of dollars. It was like 25 million,
right.
30 million.
Wouldn't you have? Of course, it made all the
sense. Yeah, I would, sure.
All the sense in the world. Of course, you'd have to be crazy not to. But you know, so you were either going to buy or you were going to sell. And of course, it didn't help as we saw the economic downturn in 2008. Obviously, that you know, that was the icing on the cake.
Well, that was the other thing. The economy was better.
Well, right. And then of course it failed, and it's never recovered from 2008. We've just thrown debt at it, and that's why we have such inflation right now, because there's so much money printed, you know, which is a whole other subject. But yeah,
right.
Happy times are not coming, I'll tell you what.
So it was a combination of factors.
Oh, absolutely.
Forced.
You know, and then you go back a little further and remember there was that real period of hope when Docket 8090 passed, and you could move in an FM station from the middle of nowhere to the middle of New Orleans or whatever. And so a lot of people really cleaned up on that. And even before that, the guy who really used to clean up on that, I've talked about him a lot, is Woody Subrink. And he did it in Baltimore, too, you know, when he bought TOWAM-FM in Towson. And, of course, you know, with his engineer, they re-engineered it. And, of course, next thing you know, it's WLIF. It's covering the whole market. He can sell it for millions. And he financed the whole thing on paid religion on the AM. So yeah, that was back then. But after that, when Docket 8090 happened, there were people who could, you know, move in stations. And the problem is that existed for a finite period of time, but people continued to think they were going to find the sweet spot on something. And you had a lot of people who started to buy stations that, man, maybe on paper you could move them in, but not in reality, you know. And if you can't cover a metro, you're out of business, period. You know, that's the bottom line. I don't know of any stations that don't cover metros that are really competitive.
No, it'd be impossible because I mean, look at New York. I mean,
you know, it's the old "they will not listen if they cannot hear you." It's that simple.
Right.
So sure.
The second thing I wanted to bring up, if we have time, sure. We're talking about Lenny Bruce. There was also a special on Mort Saul done on, it was the American Masters series on PBS, and I had that on tape, and I lost it because we had a flood down here, and I lost all it. And I've never been able to find that, but it's somewhere, probably on the web somewhere. But
he was absolutely just, you know, he's a political commentator even more than a comedian. And he used to be at the Hungry Eye in the 50s. And I would assume that special is somewhere online. Have you tried to search it?
I'm going to do that tonight when we get off. But I was just thinking about that. I tried before and it wasn't there, but I'll try it. But
yeah.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah, definitely try it. Let me know. Because, yeah, he was great.
And if I find it, I'll send you a link to
it. Great.
Because he talks about the Hungry Eye, and he talks about how they, you know, the situation that happened, and they tried to drive them out of business.
Yeah.
They
did. And he also worked for Gene Norman for a while at the Crescendo in Los Angeles, and then in New York, of course, the Blue Angel and all that. But he was at the Crescendo.
He did a talk show on WRC during their talk phase.
Yeah, so
in Washington.
Right.
And it was great. But it didn't last. Because nothing at NBC lasts. But that's another story.
No, but supposedly that JFK, when he became president, asked him to prepare a bank of political jokes he could use at public functions.
Yeah.
I've just ended the night. Call me again soon.
All righty.
Okay,
have
bye.
A good night.
All right. So on that note, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Do it again tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.